and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over bottom of the table Clyde, preview this weekend's trip to New Dundas Park to take on Bonnie Rig Rose, and there's contract news for winger Conor Duthie, plus Joe McKee is running the Edinburgh Marathon. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byles, and with me as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening. I am not too bad. How are you?
All good. Happy Easter to everybody. Hope your Easter weekend was good. And Martin, I'd asked you this on Friday, but you did ask me to ask you again. How many Easter eggs have you demolished since Friday?
I've had a few, and to be fair, I've mainly had a few at work as well, so... they weren't if you stock. I'll clarify them if you stock. I've had a few now, to be fair. Yourself?
Honestly, I've only just had the one cream egg, and that was the day. I have got an Easter egg, but I haven't opened it up yet.
It was the size of the cream egg? It's all right saying you've had one, but if it's just, a giant, you can't take one.
Just a normal cream egg. did they come in different sizes?
Well, it's maybe half the size but twice the price now, you can.
Oh, well, I...
No, things are going.
That's very true. No, just the one for... There is a few kicking about in the hoose, like, but basically they're for the Bairns. But, just had the one, so I'm...
Well, if you go to the shop tomorrow, you'll get them cheaper. At, like, a fraction of the price.
Yes, exactly. That's the thinking, in a way. Right, so talking on Friday, obviously we had... Kiel Goldie on it with us on Friday Night Live this past week. Really good to chat with Caleb. Good to get a young kind of guy as well. We kind of admitted himself, he hasn't done much in the way of media and things like that. But once again, having been at the game on Saturday, a lot of positive feedback for a lot of folks saying that how well he came across as well, which was good.
Yeah, considering it's his first time he's ever done any of the media stuff, thought it was really good. Like most people from the D, the first 5 minutes, you can sort of gather, they're a wee bit apprehensive, slightly nervous. Probably a lot worse for Caleb being a young man and the first time he's done it. So yeah, it came across really well, and he spoke very well, very clear as well. So yeah, no, it was good to speak to Caleb, and hopefully he enjoyed it and wasn't nervous too much.
And I think he was maybe more nervous with the fact that he'd asked many folk. He was going to be watching it as well. Maybe that was it. That was the thing. Obviously, the Goldie family is quite big. But yeah, Landa, as we do with these kind of things, Landa a few bits and pieces for him as well. And I think one thing it came out for me was that he doesn't seem to be in a hurry, if you like, to go back to full time football. And that was one of the questions that came in. It was about if he had any aspirations of going back. At the minute, he's quite happy to do part time and do his coaching as well with the youngsters.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it seems like he's got the best of both worlds. He's playing a vast amount of football, a lot more than what he'd anticipated he would do. Probably more than what Ryan and Jordan would have. I wouldn't say maybe liked to have given him, but they maybe like to try and ease him in a wee bit more than they have. But the way injuries and things have happened this season. And he's become a pretty key player, you know, in that central back position, a position that we're very strong at. But he's done really well since he's come in. He's enjoying doing his coaching, and he's enjoying his football. So at the moment, I can sort of see why he's not in a huge rush to go back to full-time football. I'm sure if the opportunity arose, as he said, he would need to consider it. But at the moment, he's enjoying both things, and yeah, he seems to be enjoying life at Peterhead.
Obviously, did keep his cards close to his chest when we spoke about or previewed the Clyde game. He said everybody was fit, everybody was available, only to find that he was the one that wasn't even in the squad.
Yeah, he kept that war. He'd be a very good poker player, I think, because you didn't get the impression he was holding something back. And then we looked at the team lineups, thought, God, Caleb's not even in the squad, never mind in the starting 11. So yeah, very good poker player. I'd hate to play against him.
So we've got one more we'll do this season. Tail end of this month, or maybe beginning of the next month, and that will be it for the season, because the season is only a matter of weeks to go. It was one of these new things that we chatted about. You know, just try to get new content and things out. I think it's been a good addition to to our content. I think we've learned a few bits and pieces, and it's good to get the interaction as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing hearing the guys on and doing like the weekly episodes, but I think from the questions coming in and folk can see it's live and that you get that sort of rapport, and I think there's a better connection now between some of the players and the spectators as well. So I think it's been good. I think we've learned a lot about a lot of the players, you know, that we've had even going back to, you know, September sort of time when it started. So I think it's been a worthwhile experience and something that will continue in the next season.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that. A couple of bits of news in the last week. So last week, Conor Duffy, it was announced that he had signed a one-year extension on his deal. He was one of four players that was out of contract in the summertime. One of three players out of contract in the summertime. So despite the fact obviously been missing for the vast majority of the season, he has gotten the new deal, and it was in the announcement Ryan Strachan was quoted as saying they saw enough of him in pre-season and in the League Cup to justify a new deal, and they hope he's going to be an integral part of the squad for 2024 and 2025. Something we'd spoken about a few weeks ago in terms of, you know, contracts being up for the end of the season. I think we both said it would be good to get Conor on for next season.
Yeah, I think it is. Obviously, just going off what we know, and obviously by the pre-season games as well, I think he'll be a great addition when he comes back next season. Also, McKinney's back in the sort of in amongst the squad already, but you know, once he's back playing, and I think it's a great bit of support for the club as well. Obviously, he's only played 55 minutes of the opening game of the season in the league. Massive for the club. I think it's really good for them. We know previously that they will support players as well, and obviously Conor's decided to obviously sign the contract, so I think it works for both parties, and I'm sure we'll see the best of them next season.
Yeah, started three out of the four League Cup games as well, was a substitute in the other one, and as you said, did start the East Fife game in an opening game of the season, which is where he got his injury. So just within those sort of five games, it did look as though he was going to play a big part of our season.
Yeah, I think going back, even that East Fife game, we said he was such a big player to lose even in that match, okay, never mind the whole context of the season. So I'm sure like the programme for him coming back will be a slow one, it'll be a staged one, but I'm sure he'll be, once he gets a really good pre-season under his belt, he'll be a really welcomed addition coming back into the squad. And yeah, look, I'm sure he's been as frustrated as anybody that hasn't been able to play football really this season, and we'll see the best of him next year.
Yeah, and in a funny way as well, him being missing for the whole of the season means that he's going to be able to come back, get a full recovery, get a full pre-season under his belt, get as many friendly games as he can under his belt as well, and then be ready for the start of the next season.
Yeah, and I think that'll be the key thing, getting a good pre-season under his belt. He'll be trying to push himself as much as he can, but he's got to be careful that he doesn't aggravate any injury that he's got. Like I said, it'll be a slow stage return. I'm sure the club are doing everything that they can behind the scenes to make sure it's the right programme for him. It'll all be worked out. But yeah, I'm looking forward personally to seeing him coming back next season, because I think he will be a big player.
And as we've said before as well, the vast majority of the players have signed up for next season, and you look at the wide areas already, you know, Waldy's got a contract for next season, Conor O'Keefe will be there as well, Conor Duffy, and young Aaron Smith as well has contracted for next season as well, and given the situation with Hamish Ritchie's as well, he could sign, but even if Hamish doesn't sign, there is still enough depth in both sides of the wide areas.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of quality, there's a lot of depth. I think we're a much better team with Hamish, and hopefully he does sign a new contract and he's here next season. However, if he decides that his future lies elsewhere, then I wouldn't think it would be... I think in the previous years, if we lost Hamish, it would have been a massive disappointment. I do think it would be a disappointment to lose him. But I think now that we've got a lot of quality in our squad, it wouldn't be as big an impact to sort of absorb. But look, I'm sure there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes to try and tie Hamish down to a new contract. It's just a case of where he sees his future at.
And given the form that, you know, Jinky's been in for the last month or so. He seems to be hitting the heights again. You know, we could have Connor coming back, looking to stamp his mark on the club as well, and in young Aaron as well. If he's going to be involved next season as well, it could be exciting. And these guys will have to play at their best, because if they're not play at their best, they know that there's somebody sitting on the bench that's going to take their place.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Jason Brown said in his post-match after the game on Saturday. He realised that, you know, he was coming back from injury. They didn't rush him back because he knew there was players in front of him playing really well, and they didn't feel the need to change the squad. It's a bit like in the attacking areas as well. If you're not playing well enough, you'll be having a period on the bench, but if you are playing well, you'll keep your place in the squad, and, you know, it's up to you to try and sort of keep your place there by playing well. So, yeah, competition is really good. The quality, I think it's probably been the best we've had in a number of years now. And it's just a case of ending the season strong and then looking forward into next season as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players. It's not just like, you know, an 11 or 12 players that are good. It seems to be that we've got quality throughout the squad, which has certainly been needed this season.
Yeah, because Les Morris, Ryan and Jordan didn't have a great hand when they got the manager's roles when they came into the club. They weren't dealt the best of squads. But they put in a power of work last summer, even when they were away in their own personal holidays. We kind of much work was going on behind the scenes. And this will now, I think they'll now reap the rewards of that. You know, a lot of clubs this summer will be in transitions, whereas we've got 90% of our squad, you would think, still going to be here next season. So that's a massive step in the right direction as well. And also that can sort of really aid your season next season by having a really good pre-season. The fact that there won't be that many players, you would think, leaving the club, they're contracted. I think we're now reaping the rewards of it.
One other piece of news as well, as you may have noticed through the week on both our socials and the club socials as well, is midfielder Joe McKee is going to be running the Edinburgh Marathon on the 26th of May, raising funds for mental health charity Back One Side. He's setting a target of £5,000, and there is a link on to his Just Giving page as well, which we will post again through the week. As I said, Back One Side, mental health charity, obviously there's a big association between Back One Side and the club in recent years, and they're obviously there to educate and support and, you know, about sort of mental health issues as well. And we said before as well, Joe McKee is an ambassador for Back One Side, so this is something that's close to his heart, this one.
Oh, very much so, yeah. We spoke to Joe a couple of months ago now, but you could see how passionate he was about it. Something that's very, very close to his heart. And yeah, he puts in a power of work for it, and you can certainly see that it sort of shines through. And the fact that he's doing the marathon in just, what is it now, next month? Yeah, it's May, isn't it? Yeah, so maybe next month. So yeah, it's a target that he's hoping to raise. I'm hoping that he's going to smash it. I think personally he'll do brilliant in the race. Hopefully he reaches that target, because it's a fantastic cause, and obviously does a lot of really good work behind the scenes for it as well.
It's a week after the playoff final, which is I think scheduled for the 18th of May. So hopefully he doesn't get injured anytime soon between now and the marathon. But yeah, I'm sure, you know, given how fit he is and everything, he should go and smash that. And as I said, we'll put the links back on again for donating. As I said, his target is £5,000, and all that will go to Back One Side, the mental health charity. And as I said, we'll put the links on during the week as well. So, get on to Saturday's game against Clyde, bottom of the table, Clyde, still bottom of the table, Clyde. So, it ended up being a 4-1 victory in the end. Very much a comfortable afternoon, although it possibly could have been even more comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable. I'll say comfortable-ish, because I do think at 3-1 there was a 10-15 minute period where we struggled. Mm-hmm. But overall, the balance of play, Thoroughly deserved the win. I thought we were dominant really for the opening first couple of minutes once things settled down, and even better to see Ian McColgan down the road unhappy and pointless.
Well, yeah, pointless is maybe is associated with Ian McCall, but my word, because we were in the hospitality on Saturday, which was we'll get back onto it in a second, but we were right behind the away dugout, and my word, watching him get so animated during the game was both comical and just bizarre at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly got the passion, shall we say, but to take over 5 minutes to get a simple instruction of we're changing to a 4-4-2 across to our players is slightly worrying, I would think, for a Clyde supporter, because it's a very simple message to get across, but by word, they made it a lot harder for themselves. But yeah, he's very animated on the touchline, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's maybe a cause for concern, as you said, that it was taking him that long to get his instructions across to the players. Now, that might be the fault of him, it might be the fault of the players, but either way, it's not a good sign.
No, and to give it a slight bit of context, he wanted to change to a 4-4-2 out of position, but he also wanted the two guys who were up top to press the goalkeeper and Jason Brown, Ryan Strachan, because obviously we were playing against the wind in the first half. So that just gives it context. And it generally takes 5 minutes to try and get that instruction across, that what he's wanting to do. Something that you would think, from a football manager's point of view, is a very simple instruction, a slight change of formation, and you want to press. And 5 minutes later, he's still roaring at certain players to do it. So, yeah, as comical it is for us, I guess if you're a Clyde fan, it's slightly worrying that it's taking your team 5 minutes to adopt a simple tactical change. And you can sort of see why they're in the predicament that they are.
And as I said, we were in the hospitality on Saturday, and as ever, we come to expect now, wonderful service, wonderful meal, just a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon up the stairs in the posh streets. Can't fault anything at all for Saturday.
No, you've summed up very, very well. Yet to have a bad occasion up there with the hospitality. Food was great, the service was even better. You really kind of fault it for the first minute you go up to the complimentary drinks to leaving as well. You're always very welcomed up there. It was good to see it full as well. To see a lot of people there, a lot of different sponsors and just general, you know, people been there, a couple of stag dudes were there as well. So yeah, really good to see it filled out. Sometimes you can go to these events and there's not enough staff on, you're sometimes waiting. That kind of be labelled at Peterhead. I thought it was really good, a lot of staff on, like you said, you were never really waiting for anything, and yeah, the day couldn't have really been much better.
Yeah, it was packed as well, and that was good to see. I think it probably faulty capacity as well, which was good to see. And as you said, it was just, everybody was so great, you know, Queens behind the bar, the Queens that were serving the food. Just cannot fault it at all, and you know, already looking forward to next season's one.
So that's a book for next year already. Then. No, like you say, you can't fault anything that was done. Yeah, in the past it maybe hasn't quite been as full, and things have been going well for us, and things have struggled. But delighted to be there on Saturday. Very good occasion, and to see it packed was a massive bonus.
So back onto the game then. So there was the two changes from the previous lineup, as we said. Caleb Goldley keeping his cards close to his chest with his injury, and Jack Brown dropped to the bench as well. And Jason Brown came in, and Joe McKee came back in. And as we said earlier on, you know, about the quality and the depth of the squad, you know, two guys dropping out of that quality, then you're bringing in your club captain Jason Brown and Joe McKee, just gives you a mark of how deep our squad is. With quality.
Yeah, hey, I have the Canes, I'm a huge admirer of Jason Brown. I think he reads the game so well. Even the first couple of minutes on Saturday, you heard his voice being, you know, across the pitch. And I think that's something that we have lacked in recent weeks. I think Ryan Strachan is very, very good on the pitch, but I think at times we maybe just don't hear him enough. Yeah. It's not to say that he's not doing it, but Jason, you hear him bellowing out and you hear him shouting and encouragement of all his team, even at 2-0 up or 2-0 down, he's shouting. And I think we've missed that in recent weeks, so it was great to see him back. A really solid performance as well. He hasn't been rushed back. He's taken the time. I think we're reaped the rewards of that on Saturday, because it was very, very good.
And just about 10 minutes had gone, and we'd gotten the off the mark penalty from Peter Pollitt. He'd won the penalty as well. A pretty straightforward, easy decision for the penalty award.
Yeah, even a League Two Scottish referee couldn't get this in wrong, surely. It was probably the most stick-on, or one of the most stick-on penalties you'll get. Yeah, no complaints. I don't even think Clyde had a complaint about it either, apart from Ian McCall.
No, but I don't care what he was looking at, because it looked like a stick-on for a penalty, and it was Paul who stepped up and took it as well. Thumped it into the top corner, sending the keeper the wrong way, and that was the perfect start for us.
Yeah, it was slightly interesting. It was Pollitt, because obviously 9 times out of 10, if a player wins a penalty, they don't normally take it. He was very quick that he grabbed the ball. I don't know whether that had been discussed pre-match or not, or that's what they're going with, because obviously Kieran's missed a few. But it would have been nice to see Kieran maybe have gotten one of the penalties just to get that confidence up again. But, you know, when Peter puts the first thing away like he did, very calm, composed finish.
So after that, obviously, Ian McCall was struggling to get his side to switch to a 4-4-2 after that as well. But, you know, just immediately after, and, you know, there was a big opportunity for Clyde to equalise. McKenzie with a big stop for Jordan Allen. Criticism here would be that the cross was allowed to come in the first place. I think we backed off rather than try to stop the cross coming in. But once the cross comes in, McKenzie was there to stop it from going in.
Yeah, there was a cross just a couple of minutes before it as well, but we saw it in between, I think it was Ryan Strachan and McKenzie that eventually went out for a goal kick. So the slight warning signs were there, but what a save it was for Stuart McKenzie. Made himself really big. Probably, if you're being critical of Jordan, he probably should finish it, to be fair. It's on target, but McKenzie made a really, really good save.
Given the form he's in as well, you would have expected him to stick it him. Sean's picked up a booking for it's deemed to be an elbow. It wasn't given by the referee. It was given by the linesman, who was actually further away from the action than what the referee was. The referee just blown for a foul. Craig Howie it was who went down, you know, screaming his head off as if he'd been shot in the back or something like that. But, you know, it was a good 2 or 3 minutes before the referee decided he was going to book him. As I said, it was the linesman that gave it.
Yeah, it's a strange game, because if the linesman deems it to be a foul and it's an elbow, then surely it'd be a red card for violent conduct.
Yeah.
So I struggle to see how it's an elbow to the face, the way Craig Howie went down like he did, and for it only to be a yellow card. It's almost like they've come at the decision that there's a foul there somehow. It looks like he's used his elbow or his hand, but neither of them are quite sure, so they've sort of just guessed with a yellow.
Yeah.
Which I think was harsh, but yeah, I mean, the way the defender went down, he's not exactly a small defender. Yeah, the way he went down like a sack of tatties. But yeah, I think Kieran's probably very hard to done by, and nay for the first time this season either, I've got to add.
Well, I was going to say, I think that obviously it's something we've discussed before, given he was sent off at Clyde earlier on in the season as well. There is this growing reputation that he has, and I think unfairly he's getting as well in town. So he gets defenders... the defenders gets him bookings and fouls very easily, and I don't think he's a dirty player at all. I just think he's making himself a nuisance up top, and that one there, how he going down so easily, is a classic example of somebody blatantly trying to get somebody sent off.
Yeah, that's exactly how it looked. I think Kieran, he has been sort of a victim in the last, 3-4 months. Go back to Christmas time, I think he's picked up a few yellows. I wouldn't say any of them have really been yellows. He just seems to be, I wouldn't even say wrong place, wrong time. He's just sort of been very unlucky that opposition seemed to, don't know whether it's sort of a mixture between the opposition and the referees. He's probably a bit of an easy target. I think you look at the Kieran's physique and you think, well, he's not exactly a big lad, so if he's putting his arms across or he gets his body in the way, they deem it to be a foul, and yeah, things go against him. But yeah, I think this season very harshly dealt with.
Yeah, second penalty Just shortly after, it was Hamish Ritchie this time, it was brought down, and again, no arguments with this one, and as you said with the first one, there was no arguments with the Clyde defenders either.
Well, the second one, a couple of guys at work, they sit in the stand that we are normally at for the games, and both of them thought it was soft.
Mm.
But if I look back at the highlights this evening as well, I don't think it as soft. I do think it's a penalty. You know, Hamish has come across and the defenders tried to clear it and he's caught the striker. So, they had a different view for us on Saturday. We'd had a very good view sort of looking directly at it for behind that wee dugout, as you said. So, but to me, both of them were penalties and thankfully both of them were given by the referee.
Well, the second one is a simple fact that the ball was there. It sort of bounced and both players went for it. Hamish got there first. And the Clyde defender catches him, and it's a penalty. It's a straightforward penalty. Had it been outside the box, it would have been a foul. So it's a straightforward penalty. It's maybe just because, maybe looking at for the other side, there maybe doesn't seem to be an awful lot of contact, but you certainly see it more. Again, once you see it for the highlights for this side of the pitch,
I think the highlights. You know, it clearly shows the defender making contact with Ritchie, but I guess if you're looking at it for the opposite view, you maybe did not see the direction that the ball slightly changes at because Hamish has got there first. I could be my only thinking, but yeah, both of them to me were penalties.
No, and the referee agreed and it was given again, and Paul stepped up again this time. And although the keeper does get a wee bit of a hand on it, he's still going the wrong way, and it goes into the back of the net, and we're sort of 2-0 up and cruising at that stage.
Yeah, that's exactly it, 2-0 up and cruising. Keeper got a hand on it, but it's a very well-taken penalty. It's a lot of power behind it. Paul has certainly put his body behind it, knew exactly what he wanted to do, and yeah, as you said, at that point, we're 2-0 up and we're enjoying our afternoon.
Yeah, and Jinky could have gotten a third as well. He got a shot for range, and it was a brilliant save for Kinnear in the goal, and that sort of kept the scoreline down. It certainly was a much better shot than what Martin Rennie tried just a few minutes later when he, you know, caught the top of the advertising boards at the back of the stand, back of the goal.
That's the one that nearly ended up in Balmer Terrace, was
yes.
it? But you said on Saturday, he as soon as he got that almost like two, three yards of space, he only had one thought in his mind. Oh, there's probably two players in a better position for him. And yeah, he sort of wasted that one.
So we went into the half 2-0 up, and you know we were well in control. Apart from that one for Jordan Allen and the shot for Martin Rennie, Clyde didn't offer too much, and you know Kinnear, as I said, pulled off a good save. So we were 2 up, but we could have been out of sight by then.
Yeah, we'd had a few chances, and probably slightly frustrated we didn't go 3-0 up earlier than what we did. But I thought Clyde were poor in the day. They didn't really cause us much problems at 2-0, to be fair. And yeah, we're rather comfortable, even at 2-0 up.
There was a couple of changes at half-time. Jordan Armstrong and Rory McAllister came on for Danny Strachan and Kieran Shanks. Danny went off. He'd picked up a knock. Kieran Moore, for the fact that he'd already received a booking, and that was mere just to kind of... be cautionary of what may happen in the second half, and it didn't really change the game plan at all. The only difference would have been Jordan going across to right back, which is Nate's obviously natural position. He is a natural left back, and I did feel as though that did show a few times, because obviously he gets the ball on that right hand side, he wants to try and get it back on his left foot before he plays it forward. So that was an interesting substitution that we made. It just sort of upset the balance of the back four.
Oh, 100%. The game plan didn't change, but I think the style maybe did, as you said, because normally when Dunne gets the ball, his first thought is go forward or play a pass and then go forward himself. But on this occasion, Jordan's got the ball. His first thought naturally is a left foot player. He tries to come back inside. So I didn't feel we got that width on the right-hand side of the balance just right. But, yeah, Danny picked up an okay to come off. But at 2-0 up, you think you're fine. Interesting, it wasn't Scott Ross that came on. Maybe a wee bit like the Jason Brown situation, maybe a week too early for him. But yeah, to be fair, Jordan didn't really do nothing wrong when he came on. He kind of helped be a natural left footer. Mm. It was just the balance was maybe slightly off for the second half.
The third goal came from a corner. Flynn Duffy swinging it in with his left foot. Rory McAllister nodding it down to Peter Pollock. Now, I don't reckon if it was a deliberate knockdown or if it was just one of those where the defender had done enough to put him off, but it fell to Peter Pollock and he fired it in for his first hat-trick of his career.
Yeah, I find that a really interesting stat. If you think the amount of games that he's played, hey, we've mentioned before he's not a natural goal scorer, but to be his first hat trick, I was quite impressed when I heard that on Saturday. So yeah, good knockdown by McAllister. Maybe being greedy, he's sort of laid it off to Pollock, who's in a better position, and fired it in 3-0. And I think at that point, everybody probably thought the game was done. It's hard not to think it was, and yeah, for how good we'd been, it was good to get the third goal and sort of just try and kill the game off.
Yeah, and it was good to get Peter Pollock's name mentioned over the tannoy again, although Graham had struggled after the first thing. I don't know what happened there. He got a scare or something, but he a sense of embarrassment when he was trying to say Peter Pollock for the first time.
Yeah, but he made amends. He had a couple more attempts at it as the day went on with Peter scoring all them goals. So, yeah, hey, it's one of them things that it's live and these things can happen, unfortunately, for Graham. But he recovered very well. The true professional.
As ever, as what I say, true professional. So 3-0, and we were very much in control of the game. But we gave away a sloppy goal. Clyde get back into it. Robbie Leach it was with the goal, and it sort of came out with nothing really, just a lump ball forward. Ryan Strachan and Jason Brown trying to deal with it, and before you know it, it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, really strange, Ian, because it's 3-0. They didn't really cause us anything of note, to be fair, and then just in the blink of an eye that they're back in the game at 3-1. And yeah, they sort of got a lift for that. I don't think our heads dropped or anything, because obviously we're 3-1 up in the game, we were cruising. But we just allowed them back in at a time that still plenty of time left in the game as well. And Wah Kane, even at 3-0, when there's a decent chunk of the game still to go, you're a bit vulnerable. We was poor to allow them back in the game the way we did.
And as you said earlier on as well, for about 10 minutes after that, 10, 15 minutes, there was a real worry that Clyde were going to get back into it, and if they scored a second, their tails would have been right up. And it just felt as though we kind of switched off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we commented about it on Saturday. At times, genuinely, it looked like we had a back eight, because everything just, we seemed to panic a wee bit. When you say panic, there was a slight nervousness got up. Obviously, it was 3-1, and everybody sort of knew that. If Clyde got the next goal, then to be 3-0 up and almost throw it away would be a massive, swing in the result. And yeah, I do think for 10, 15 minutes we did struggle. We struggled to retain the ball. We struggled to get the good areas that we'd done the previous, 60 odd minutes. And they got their tails up by getting that first goal. And yeah, for a good 10, 15 minutes, they were the team that was in the ascendancy. And at that point, it looked like there was only going to be one team that was going to score the next goal in the game.
Yeah, there was just this real sort of worry that we were sitting far too deep. And as you said, we had our back four, and then you almost had your midfield three slotting in into there as well. There was just sort of no midfield at all for us, and that was a worry, rather than just sort of, well, we've got three new, let's go for the juggler and just keep going and keep going.
Yeah, the midfield sort of became very deep, and which was frustrating, because with Clyde playing into the wind, you felt if you were 10, 15 yards further higher up, then you were going to squeeze them in and you wouldn't allow them out. But yeah, Clyde, they didn't really cause us too much problems. They had a lot of the ball within that 10-minute period, but I don't think they caused us anything to worry about as such.
Especially with the fact that the Kinnear couldn't really get his goal kicks any further than the halfway line, you would have thought then, well, let's just get as high as we can.
Yeah, you'd be looking almost for your two centre backs to just be 5-10 yards further, deeper than the halfway line of your midfield, you know, a lot further forward, and that would have allowed us to win the ball high up and sort of regain possession and build for there. But yeah, for that 10-minute period, it didn't seem to work. Whether the, you know, the substitution sort of didn't, I say they didn't help, but the game became stop start for Clyde subs and our subs as well. So that maybe didn't help the game flow as much. But yeah, I do think there was a 10-minute period where it wasn't as comfortable as the scoreline would have suggested.
Cavia got sent off for Clyde, got a second yellow, and you know, he just came off the bench at half time. Once he picked up his first one, he was always on a tightrope, but there's an argument his first one could have been a straight red with his tackle on Jason Brown.
Yeah, it looked a nasty one at the time. Looking back at it, I still think it's a nasty one. I think on another day, another referee would have given a red card. Now we can, this referee does like a card or two himself. I'm slightly surprised that it wasn't a red. But again, it's one of them. A couple of years ago, that would have probably just been a yellow. And I know the game's changed in that time as well. So, yeah, a wee bit of surprise that there wasn't a red, given that this referee does like a card or two.
Yeah. Right, let's go on to... Now, before we get overly critical, we do like Jordan. Jordan's a great guy. And all that, so, but let's be honest here. He should be hitting the target. Did hit the target, but he should be scoring with his opportunity here. Big miss for him. At 3-1, he could have killed off the game. Roy McAllister setting him up perfectly inside the box, and I don't know why he takes a touch. If he just takes it with a first time effort, surely that would be easier to go in. But it's a huge miss.
Yeah, Rory even said to us in Saturday night, didn't he? He said it was a perfect pass, even if he did say so himself. Jordan's not known for his goal scoring, and it was maybe evident with that on Saturday. It's one of them, if he doesn't take a touch, he'll probably score, but once he does take a touch, the goalkeeper's narrowed in the angle and he hasn't finished it. He's probably received a few messages in his WhatsApp group about that mess, I dare say. But we can look back on it and joke on it now. But, you know, had that been at a mere crucial time in the game, yes, yeah, a slightly different story. But, as you said, Jordan's he's not known for his goal-scoring ability.
But look at the goals he has scored this season. You look back to the game against Aberdeen, for example, you know, hitting him for the edge of the box. There was one on the spin. He scored with a header as well. So he's capable of it. I just wonder if that was one of those occasions where he thought he had much more time than he did. And before you can't, the keeper was on top of him. Whereas it's maybe one of those where if he doesn't have time to think about it and just does it, it would have gone in.
Probably. He's probably had too much time. And he's trying to think of Fitty's got a D. And in the end, he's not quite sure if Fitty's got a D. One thing I probably do can in the future is Rory McAllister. I wouldn't be passing to Jordan in that situation again. He'll be taking that on himself. Yeah, looking back on it, we can joke about it, but had it been a mere serious time in the match or the scoreline was different, I think you might have gotten a fair ribbon for the boys, that's for sure.
Training will be interesting this week, let's put it that way. Fortunately, Joe McKee did then add a fourth again from a corner, short corner this time for Alfie Shute, who had come off the bench by this time as well, and he's controlled the corner. And he's fired in a shot from the with his left foot, and you know, just completely catching Clyde off guard and sleeping a little bit.
Yeah, I think that once they went down to 10 men, we were completely back in the ascendancy again. They had nothing to note after that. Jordan had his chance, and then Joe right at the end, left foot finished, sort of collected right him. Joe scoring with his left foot. 4-1, and I don't think it flattered us. I know with that, go back to it, with that 10-15 minute period, but even with two penalties, I thought were well worthy of the 4-1. As you said, Jordan could have hit one, so it could have been five, and then there was Conor O'Keefe's with a really good save. So I don't think 4-1 flattered us at all. I thought we were really good value for the win. A massive confidence booster going into the last, you know, five games of the season.
Yeah, and overall, a very good performance just for that initial spell after we went 3-0 up. We just sort of took the foot off the gas a little bit, I would say, would be the only criticism from Saturday.
Yeah, that would be it. I think we went 3-0 up, and I think everybody probably thought the game was done. We've allowed them back until it had 3-1. And there was almost that nervous energy that sort of came round for a wee period. But overall, a very, very good performance. I think a lot better than we've shown in recent weeks as well. Yeah, very, very good performance.
And the fact that we were creating a lot of chances as well, it bodes well. Because in recent weeks, it's been particularly tight. I think we're about 10 efforts on goal, 6 on target. So, you know, well worthy of the 3 points.
Yeah, I think there was... I know we've got 2 penalties, but the reason they came about is we're a lot more direct. I think we have been in recent weeks as well. Whether that is where, you know, Paul getting up to a good bit of match fitness now, Junky coming on to a good game, and these are players that... naturally their first thought is, how can I get the defence, how can I take them on and get by them? And yeah, I think the performance was much more almost like what we had at the start of the season, where you just kept going at them. And yeah, I thought it was a really good performance.
And Stenny drew at Dumbarton, so which was kind of the ideal result for us, because obviously we didn't want Stenny to win, but also didn't want Dumbarton to win either. So the gap now is 13 points from Stenny, 5 games left, so 15 points available. They're at home next week to East Fife, and obviously East Fife are doing pretty well. They'll be hoping to kind of wrap things up. So we've got a trip to Bonnyrigg to deal with first as well. But it's they just so it's maybe cut and dry as Fitzstenny's thinking at this stage.
Or you're thinking, because as you said on Saturday, the title is still on. So mathematically, you are correct, yes. The title is still on. I guess it makes it even more frustrating that we've had, you know, 7 draws in our last 11 and that form over Christmas. Now, yeah, I take on board the injuries and everything we had at the time as well. And it just makes it slightly more frustrating, because I think we could have been right on their coattails with 5 games to go, and it would have been maybe a different ending. But as you said, looking at games, we're away to Bonnyrigg and, you know, East Fife, going to Stenny. Stenny will want to get the title wrapped up, but it's an important game to look at as well, because obviously you want to keep East Fife at arm's length. There's only 5 games to go.
Yeah.
You don't want them getting any closer. So yeah, it'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on at Ockleview, but we've got to do our business at Bonnyrigg first.
Yeah, let's get some of your thoughts from Saturday's game. Lindsay Finlay, we'll start with her. She said that the change of lineup definitely changed the second half, but a really good game. Hope Jordan got a ribbon back in the changing room. How did you miss that? Andrew Milne, dominant display, played well. I think it was a fairly soft second penalty, but not complaining. The ref had a decent game and stuck to his average of 5 yellows and a red. Second half was tough, especially when Clyde got their goal. Scrappy at times, but overall a good game to watch. Wayne Simpson, solid first half performance, second was a battle. I agreed with the man of the match, as I thought Ryan was solid the whole game, never put a foot wrong. Jason was vocal from the first second of the game and was brilliant to see him back in the blue jersey. Prolonged the title for another week. Kevin Wilson took the foot off the gas at 3 up and let them into the game. We should have had a third penalty when Peter Pollock was chopped on the byline in the second half. Neil Thompson, thought we played well. We played some great stuff for much of the game. Pity losing a goal by switching off at our own free kick, which led to a nervy 15 minutes. Not sure if Kieran getting a knock before the first pen was why Pollock took it, but can't complain, as he took both well and had a fine hat-trick. Go to Wayne Simpson's comment. He agreed with the man of the match, of Ryan Strachan, and there was a bit of response. There was a few kind of murmurings as to why, you know, Peter Pollock, who scored a hat trick, didn't get the man of the match. The argument would be, obviously, he's, you know, scored 3 and got the hat trick, would maybe automatically give him the man of the match. But there was a few contenders on Saturday, which is saying something.
Yeah, and you know, maybe in recent weeks there hasn't been that many contenders, and performances maybe haven't quite been going by the standards that the guys have set previously, although we've been on a decent run. Yeah, I was one of them on Saturday. I heard the man of the match, and I was one of them that went, really? I say just Inspector Ryan. But my argument to that would be fair dues if we'd kept a clean sheet. But we didn't. I couldn't understand getting to a defender. The guys all have their reason for man of the match, and it's, you know, it's their opinion that counts at the end of the day. They're the ones sponsoring the game, and they can choose who they want. But very unusual for a player to score a hat-trick and not get man of the match.
And it was notable of Andy McCarthy's response as well. If you noticed him, but when Graham had said that the man of the match was Ryan Sarkin, I think it was a break in a play in the play. There might have been a substitution or a free kick or something, and he's standing just in front of us, and you just see him going, "Really?" and laughing. And
even Andy was confused.
Yeah, and pointing at Ryan as well. So yeah, he obviously took note of that as well, but. You know, these guys, they're there, and they can pick for the like. Not everybody's going to agree, and that's the thing. But it's just that you just wonder, well, if you score a hat-trick, surely he could. I know two of them were penalties, but he played well, although he did say in his post-match he was average.
Yeah, modest as ever as Peter Paul, it was an average performance scoring a hat-trick. But yeah, these guys pay their money, you know, match sponsors, they can pick exactly who they want. They'll have their reasons for selecting Ryan, and I guess that's the beauty of FitBad. They've seen something different that others haven't, and, you know, they're well within their right to select whatever man of the match they want.
Mind you, I've seen some of these TV games, and their award and a man of the match just leaves you with scratching your head sometimes as well. So it's all football. It's all about opinions.
But it's good that we're in a position to have numerous candidates for man of the match, because some games that hasn't been the case this season. So yeah, it was good that everybody had at least two on Saturday.
So, on to Saturday's game. We were away from home. This time we are at New Dundas Park to take on Bonnyrigg Rose, who currently sit eighth in the table, 3 points above Clyde. Spoke last week very briefly that they've changed their manager as well and got Callum Elliott in for the tail end of the season. And they are at a point where, you know, they just seem to be and a bit of free-for-all, just one league win in 2024, 14 matches, just the one win, 6 draws and 7 losses. And they're right in the thick of it, that relegation battle down at the bottom with Clyde and Stranraer, who they drew with on Saturday.
Yeah, they're, as you said, one win this year. They're in a massive problem. Sort of fear for them. I think Clyde's forum, you know, they can pick up a win from somewhere. Stranraer, they've got it in their locker that they can pick up good performances and a result. Bonnyrigg, I struggle sort of to see where our result's coming for them. I've maybe just jinxed it new. Obviously, we play them on Saturday. But, yeah, this is a game that I think we should be going down there, obviously full of confidence, but maybe in fear either. I think we've just got to go there, have a really good positive start. It'll be interesting because obviously a new manager just in the door as well. He hasn't had much time to work with him. Obviously, I've had last week, everything would have been new to him, but this week maybe a wee bit more time to try and get his message across. Difficult for Ryan and Jordan to sort of figure out what sort of system they're maybe going to play or what sort of personnel. But if you focus on our own game, I think we've got a very good team. The confidence will be up, and one with it we should go to there full of confidence with.
And it was a very drab game the last time the two sides met, 0-0 draw on the Tuesday night, if you recall as well. Alfie Shute was sent off in it as well. And that was one of 7 games already this calendar year, where they've failed to score out of 14. So that's almost half of the games that they've played, they failed to score. And only 4 times have they managed to score 2 goals. So really are struggling, and you know, this could be one of those games where if we can get the first goal, that puts us on the right step, because obviously, you know, they're fighting for their lives, they kind of buy a win, they're struggling to score. Getting that first goal might just be the key.
Yeah, I generally think you're right. I think the first goal in the game will be massive. It is in every game that you play, but more so this sort of game in terms of, they didn't score many goals. They concede quite a lot, but they certainly didn't score many. So when you get your noses in front and get an early goal or a goal to settle the game down and take the lead, It'll put us on a very good foundation to go and build on. And as I said, the confidence that we get for the Clyde game and the result and performance of that, I think we'll be in very good stead on Saturday.
And I know we were sort of saying earlier on, you know, we're 13 points behind Steny, and you know, the title race is still on, if you like. But we've still got Dumbarton, Spartans and East Fife, you know, breathing down our necks. And for that second place in the league heading into the playoffs. So we really want to be trying to get as many wins as we can between now and the tail end of the season, particularly as we've got Spartans and Dumbarton, the final two games.
You love meeting the words in my mouth there. The fact that we've got Spartans and Dumbarton still to play, it's... Yeah, you want to try and get the wins. That's not to say that, obviously, you can sort of then afford to lose all the last two games. I think they'll all go down the last day of the season. I really do, in terms of where everybody will finish in second, third and fourth. But, like I said for a few weeks, the title race, I think, is done. But it's a very important game in terms of just keeping that momentum going. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago as well. You want to be going into the playoffs in good form and good confidence. And I think the performance doing at Steny, backed up with a very good win and performance against Clyde, we seem to be heading in the right direction again.
And as you said as well, we should be going down there with a lot of confidence. You know, we did have to make a couple of enforced changes because of injuries. And you obviously you look at that right back area. You know, it was Danny coming off. Caleb was missing. We still had David Wilson missing as well. Scott Ross was on the bench, but maybe not fit enough to start. That might be the only area we're sort of looking at between now and Saturday.
Yeah, I think the fact that the games are now weekly between now and the end of the season, it sort of gives you that wee bit more recovery time. It is the business end of the season. You want to try and win every game that you can. Rotation, I think they'll probably need that over the next couple of weeks as well. Just try and keep your players as fresh as possible, because obviously you're hoping that you've got a couple more games towards the end of the season. But it'll be making sure you've got the right team for the right game. And I do think rotation will be needed by Ryan and Jordan.
Okay, now joining me on the Blue Toon Talk podcast to get his take on Saturday's game down at Bonnyrigg is Grant Tough. Grant, welcome back to the Blue Toon podcast. How are you?
I'm not bad, mate. Thank you very much for having me again. Yeah, I'm doing well. What about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. We were just saying there, Martin and myself, just how quickly the season seems to be coming to an end. We've only got five games left. Rapidly coming to the end of the season. I reckon how you guys are feeling, but it just seems to go on by pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think ever since we've kind of been dragged into this relegation battle, it's been cup final after cup final. So, yeah, every game's a wee bit nervous for us down here, but we'll see how we get on.
Got to obviously speak firstly about the change of manager last week. You got a new manager in, Callum Elliott from Cowdenbeath. Not a name we would have known much about up here in the northeast. But first of all, was that change in management something that you saw coming, and what about the timing of it?
Yeah, to be honest, like, I've got the utmost respect for Robbie Horn and everything he's done at the club. He's a legend around Bonnyrigg. But when you look at the record of results, they kind of speak for themselves. I think the change, if it was going to happen, I thought it would have happened a wee bit earlier. But to happen when you've only got, at the time, six games left to go, it was a wee bit, it's a gamble here sort of thing. Like, what's the idea behind it? You've got a guy who's coming in who's got no history at this level as a manager, and he's going to come in with players that he's not worked with before. He's got no transfer window to make any changes, so... he's just going in saying, right, you've got six cup finals here, try and do what you can. So, yeah, it was a shock at the timing, but I think the sacking, it wasn't unexpected for a lot of people.
And what of Callum Elliott then? Because, as I said, we probably don't know too much about him up here. Coming for Cowdenbeath, sitting, I think, mid-table in the Lowland League, so maybe just not setting the heather a light on there, but going by the response on social media, he comes with a pretty decent reputation doing your way.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few names chucked about when Robbie did get sacked, but Callum Elliott, he's someone that I've never really heard much about when it came to management. Obviously, I've had a look at his track record at Cowden Beath, and Cowden Beath are kind of ran similar to Bonnerig with the financial side of things and what he's got to work with. From his managerial history, it does seem like he's moving up with each club what he's going to. So that's a positive. I wasn't actually at the game on Saturday down in Stranraer, but from what I heard, that the team created a lot more chances. That was the issues that we were having recently. We've not really created many chances in any game. But at the weekend there, we had more chances to win that game than any game we've had in the last 10 games, probably. And we got a fairly positive result. I think both Bonnerig and Stranraer will be happy just to pull away from Clyde, given that they're in 3 points behind us now with 5 games to go. So, but listen, Callum's came in. I think this could be the first time in a good few years at Bonnerig where in the summer you're going to have a big overhaul of players. He might try and get his own players in. Mm-hmm. You still had a lot of like Robbie's contingent of players from when we were back in the East of Scotland in the junior days. So a lot of players might move on. Callum hopefully will get the financial backing to bring in his own players and we can see what we can do. But again, that will depend on what league we're in and what the aim is. So we'll see what happens.
And you sort of said it to yourself alone, but you're right in this relegation battle. A few weeks ago, it might have been impossible to think that you would be in a relegation battle, just how far back at Clyde were. Obviously, they've clawed the points back. Couple that with your run in 2024, when I think you've only won one league game in this calendar year so far. It's a combination which obviously hasn't gone doing well for yourselves, but you've got Stranraer there as well. It's essentially a three-horse race now, isn't it?
Exactly that, mate. We've in all competitions we haven't won any of our last 10 games, and we've only had the one win. I think it was home to Elgin midweek in 2024, and it all started with a 3-2 defeat away to Clyde, which was only their second win of the season, I think it was, back in January. So yeah, like you were saying, combine our poor results with Clyde's win after win, picking up a 6-1 win at Stenhousemuir, was one thing. So, yeah, you've got to try and think about the positives, and you know, it's crazy to say that we're now back in a relegation battle considering we're fifth for about a third of the season. But that is what it is. We'll see what happens, and hopefully we can pick up the points here and there, and more points in Clyde just would be ideal. So, yeah.
Goals is something you're sort of struggling with a little bit, and given that the last time the two sides met, it ended up in a 0-0 on a drab Tuesday night. Did that game kind of sum up your season as a whole?
Yeah, because I think you guys got a guy sent off in like the start of the second half, and at the end of the day, we didn't really capitalise on that. I think Pierre Head were probably still looking more likely to score that night, even with the 10 men. And again, you touched on it there. Our goal record has just not been great. A lot of our goals have came from penalties. Even at the weekend down in Stranraer, it was another penalty. However, if you're going to give me 5 more goals this season and they're all penalties, I'm going to take it. And if they're going to result in, you know, another 7 or 8 points, then happy days. But yeah, we've had so many different strikers this year, and we've just, I'm not entirely sure what's happened with, you know, the recruitment side of things and bringing in players who are expected to score goals. It's just no word out for them. But, it is what it is. We've just got to work with it, really.
It's been a topic of conversation by a lot of fans in League 2, the amount of penalties that you guys seem to be getting. But not only getting them, but if it's scoring as well. I think he's scored pretty much every one that he's taken, isn't he? What have you kind of made of that, the amount of penalties you've been getting?
It's weird. I mean, because like I'm saying to you, we don't really seem to create many chances in games. So the penalties must be awarded for when we've got a set piece and something's happened in the box or someone's been brought down. From what I've seen at the weekend down at Stranraer, we were cutting him from the right-hand side and he's been brought down in the box and it looked like a penalty from the highlights. So small things like that. But yeah, Neil Martinick has been absolutely deadly from penalties this season. Crucial ones like away in, even Albion away in the cup, like to win 1-0 down there was a big result for us to eventually see us get through to play Aberdeen, which again was probably the highlight of the season so far for us. So yeah, it is a weird one because we've not really got a striker scoring goals, but we've got our centre half stepping up and putting away every penalty he gets.
And that's all you can really ask of him, really, isn't it?
That's all you want, yeah.
What do you make of the season as a whole then? We've only got five games left. We're coming towards the end of the season. How would you sum up the season as a whole for Bonnie Rigg?
I think, to be honest, we've got to be realistic. Like, we had a good start. It was very similar to last season. We had a great start. We had two wins on the bounce and then a draw. This season we had away wins at Clyde and Forfar. And like I was saying earlier on, we were up in fifth for about a third of the season, to be honest with you. If we had managed to stay in fifth, and even sixth or seventh, it would have been great. Going back to what I was saying about being realistic, we were eighth last season. Anything to avoid relegation is a highlight for Bonnie Rigg. We have got the lowest budget in the league, as far as I'm aware. So just to be able to stay in the league and then build on that from the previous season would be ideal. So, yeah, ideally I would have wanted to finish higher than eighth to build on last season, but when we're in a relegation battle as we are, I'd take ninth at this stage. I'd be happy to just stay in the league once again and then try and, like I was saying, with the new manager, overhaul the squad and see what outgoings and changes you can bring in. So yeah, overall, I'm satisfied. As long as we can avoid relegation, I'll be happy.
But in a league where it's been so tight, you know, you talk about being fifth, but I think for large spells of this season, obviously we've had the sort of the top four sort of break away, mm-hmm. and then you had like fifth to ninth. There was maybe only 3 or 4 points in it. And it just needed that one team to start a bit of a run. Obviously, Elgin changed their manager. They've hit a bit of form. East Fife changed their manager. They've hit a bit of form as well. So there was always maybe a danger of if you didn't start keep up with them, you would then start sliding down the league a little bit.
Exactly. And I think that also highlights the timing of the change as well. Like East Fife getting in someone like Dick Campbell's a massive appointment, and he's shown it there, being unbeaten since he came in. Elgin's home form has been instrumental in their rise from the bottom, because I think they were pre-season favourites to finish bottom, but their home form's really, you know, highlighted their league position this year. So yeah, like, as you were saying, you've got like yourselves, Steny, Dumbarton and Spartans who were trying to run away in those top four positions, and then we were just sort of getting along there in fifth place. But yeah, the change of managers at our club's definitely made an impact on the other team's squads, and we are kind of, have we left it too late? That'll be the question, which we'll find out in the next month or so. But I'm confident, and hopefully it'll start on Saturday against yourselves. We got the draw against you at home and away last time out, mm-hmm. and it was a close contest, and the 2-1 up in Peterhead, so we'll see what happens. Again, the pitch could be a level playing field, but our guys are not happy to on the pitch either this season. It's been a lot worse than last year, so we'll see what happens.
I was just going to mention, actually, the pitch, what kind of state is it in at the moment, and so it's come under a bit of criticism as well this season.
Yeah, I mean, we had recently two home games. I think it was it East Fife maybe we were at home too, and then the Tuesday night, 3 days later, we had Spartans at home. And nobody thought it was going to go ahead, but the guys done well to actually get a lot of sand down and get the pitch on. Because we've not had a home tie in a few weeks now, it might be in a good state. I'm just looking outside and it's absolutely chucking it down, so you've got to wait and see what happens coming up for Saturday. But no, like I say, we've got guys working round hours on the pitch trying to get it to at least a good level. There's talks as well of us getting an artificial pitch going forward as well, which will definitely help it with the club, because it will help it with the under-20s team and the women's team. Hopefully they can all get involved and it can be a real community aspect. But again, these are all things that will depend on where we finish and what league we're playing in next year.
It can be a bit of a level playing field, as you said. Have you found that the football's been different, or have they found it difficult to try and play a certain style?
Yeah, I would say this season I've noticed it a lot more, that it has been a lot more difficult for even our guys to play on a pitch. Like, last season you had a lot of teams coming to Bonnie Rigg for the first time, so it was a wee bit more of an advantage. But now I think the word is, everybody knows that the pitch is going to be murdered when you come to Bonnie Rigg. And even, like I was saying, our guys are aren't too happy about playing on the pitch at the minute, which is, I think was one of the factors in talking about getting an artificial for going forward, because before, I can't remember who it was, I think we were playing like Steny or something, but our record on artificial was brilliant. We'd only lost like one in so many games last season. So yeah, I think there was an advantage of trying to get an artificial pitch. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that in the future. But again, I keep going back to it all depends on what league we're going to be in, what type of squad we've got, who does Callum bring in the summer. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
And the pitch, in a funny way, could be a factor for players wanting to come to play for Bonnyrigg, because as you said, the players at the minute aren't happy playing on it, and obviously if nothing changes over the summer, that might just be a bit of a red flag for some potential signings.
Yeah, you're spot on there. You're spot on, mate. If that pitch isn't to standard and we're not able to play good football, then if you were a player, why would you want to come and play on that pitch? Like, there's nothing wrong with the club itself. Like, Bonnyrigg as a club is, you know, I speak from, you know, being around the club for a while now. The people, the brilliant people to work with, but the issue you've got is if you're a player, that's, you know, you want to play the best football you can play, and you can't pass a ball 12 yards in front of you without it bobbling, or, you know, someone gets, you know, their stud stuck in the grass, or all these little things which just put players off playing there. So,
As we've mentioned, the two draws, one win for us so far this season, fairly tight affairs so far. Would you expect the same again this coming Saturday?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think you'll have, because it's Callum's first game at home, you've probably got a big crowd there, hopefully. And again, I think he'll just say to the guys, you know, just go for it. Do your best. Play an attacking style of football compared to, you know, like I was saying earlier on, the lack of shots and lack of chances we were getting. I heard it down at Swinra, we were creating a lot more opportunities. So just try and get in Peterhead's faces and bring the game to them. You know, don't sit off them, don't let them, you know, control possession. Just try and get at them right from the goal and see what happens. But yeah, I mean, the quality in Peterhead's side and then us at home, you're expecting probably a low scoring game once again.
It's interesting because obviously we still just got five games to go, but both sides have got, you know, things to play for. Realistically, the titles out of our grasp at the minute, out of our reach, I should say. But, you know, we were to try and get second place. You obviously want to try and avoid a potential relegation battle as well. So it could be set up for a fairly decent game, or it could be one of those games where, because there's so much on the line for it, it could be a really messy game, edgy game.
Yeah, exactly that, mate. You might see some sloppy passing or wasteful chances, etc. A lot of, like you were saying there, players will be thinking about what's going on elsewhere on the day and what stipulations that result could have for them. Yeah. So, both teams will have something completely opposite to play for, but you guys will be hoping to get going to form ahead of the playoffs, and we'll be just trying to avoid playoffs at the end of the season, but at the other end of the table.
Realistically, obviously, you want to try and finish as high as you can. Finishing ninth, I guess, at this stage would be the target. Yeah.
Yeah, just avoiding the playoffs would be the target. You're going to come up against a good, in my opinion, East Kilbride side. I think East Kilbride will probably be the team that will beat any of the teams in the Highland League, because the Highland teams have been very inconsistent this year. No one's really wanted to try and run away with it. But whereas East Kilbride, they'll have everything put behind them to make sure they're in the SPFL next season. So I've had conversations with people about if it's Clyde, if it's us, if it's Stranraer. Can't see any of the three teams beating East Kilbride, to be honest with you. I think it'll be East Kilbride, it'll be in League 2 next year regardless. So yeah, if we can just avoid 10th and then build on staying in the league for next season.
Yeah, it could be a fascinating summer for you, regardless of what league you're going to be in. But Grant, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again. Good to chat with you over the course of the season. Take this in the right possible manner. But I hope I'm speaking to you again next season, because hopefully we'll be in League One.
Yeah, and you know, if we are speaking, I'll be happier than you'll be happier, because we'll still be in the league and so will you guys. But I appreciate being on once again, mate. It's been grand, so thanks very much for the opportunity.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Grant Tuch for joining me to preview Saturday's game at Bonnyrigg Rose, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.